This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Final Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
Our Bible reading today, our Old Testament lesson, comes from Isaiah 49, verses 8 to 15. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor, I have answered you. On a day of salvation, I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the ways, on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by the springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Lo, these shall come from far away, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Syene. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these shall forget, yet I will not forget you. And then from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 19 through 21, then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. But he said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.
Now reading from the Gospel according to John, just a couple of verses here. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, woman, here is your son. Then he said to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Remember, do you want to put Jesus in the chair? We started to bring Jesus up with us inside our sanctuary because sometimes we forget that Jesus is with us always. And so it was kind of nice to have him come up and be with us. So I brought with me today a book. Have you ever seen this book before? It's called The Kissing Hand, and it's all about Chester. He's this little raccoon right here, and he's a little bit afraid. He's afraid to go to school because he's afraid of all the new things he might happen, all the things that would happen with his mom and his family there, and he was really, really afraid. And his mom told him all the things that would happen at school and said, you don't need to worry. And she showed him a special secret. Do you remember what that secret was? She gave him a kiss right there in his hand. And she said, my love is with you all day long. And whenever you feel worried or lonely or afraid, all you need to do is put that kiss right on your cheek. And then you will feel that love all over. And you remember that I'm with you. Well, I think this is the coolest book because that reminds me that God's love was with us all the time. God is with us always. And sometimes we forget about that. Do you forget about that sometimes? You know what? Grown-ups forget about that a lot of times too. And this is a good reminder for us to say, wow, that love, put it right on your cheek and feel it wherever you go. Well, today is a special day. Today is a day that we celebrate all the women in our lives that have shared that love with us of God. Maybe it's your mom or a grandma or a stepmom or a godmother or an aunt or a special friend, somebody that shared that love of God with you. And today is the day that we can say thank you to them. And you know what? Today is a special day for me because one of my boys is able to come home and see me, and I don't get to see him as much. And that kiss on my hand to remember that he loves me too and that God loves me is pretty special for me. And I think you could help those grown-ups in your life remember that love of God and share that love of God with them. Does that sound good? I have, Miss Evie, can you help me share a sticker with everyone? Can you give everyone a sticker? And you can put it in your palm, or you can share the sticker with somebody that you love to remind them that God's love is with them always. Remember, the last several weeks we've been talking about how one of our jobs is to share the love of God with everyone that we meet. And this is one of the ways you can do that. You can take one for you and your sister. You can share the love of God. And this helps you to remember that that love is with you always. So let's take a little time and let's say a little prayer about that. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for all the women in our lives that have helped us learn more about you and more about your love. We just ask that you would help us to share the love that they give to us with them and with all the people that we meet. We thank you that we are never alone. We are never without you, that you are with us on all of our days that are frustrating or lonely or days that we're afraid, and those especially on those days that we're happy. You are with us always. We pray all these things in your name, and all God's children said, amen.
Every year, the Presbyterian Church publishes a planning calendar, and that calendar has all kinds of information in it, mission information, that sort of thing. But for years, the planning calendar did not include Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May. Now, I think along the way, there were some complaints about that. And so the folks that edit the calendar decided to compromise. And so one year I saw listed Festival of the Christian Home. But that just didn't do it for those who wanted Mother's Day listed. And finally, I've noticed, and I don't know how many years back this goes, maybe not very long ago, they started listing Mother's Day on the second Sunday in May. Now, I understand the thinking here, because Mother's Day is not a liturgical holiday. It's not in the liturgical year. It's not even, is it a religious holiday? Is it a secular holiday? What is Mother's Day anyway? But now it's listed in the planning calendar, and I think people will be happy to see it there. But of course, the scripture readings are not listed for Mother's Day. They're for the fourth Sunday of Easter, which, of course, we did not read those this morning because I decided it'd be better to talk about Mother's Day today than to worry about those other lessons. So I decided in favor of Mother's Day because I wanted to mention a few things about it. But first of all, I think it's worth noting that it was not the florists and greeting card people that invented Mother's Day, a la Hallmark, etc., even though they profit handsomely from it. Oh my goodness, I was in Pick and Save the other day, and I couldn't believe the array of flowers and gifts and balloons and everything else. But the fact is that Mother's Day goes back, thousands of years, I think. According to my sources, it dates back to ancient Egypt and many other civilizations, early civilizations. The Christian church recognized something like a Mother's Day. England in the 1600s did, and the pilgrims in our own country. However, in the 19th century, a woman named Anna Marie Reeves Jarvis rekindled Mother's Day, or the idea of Mother's Day, in a special way. According to an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer that I have saved. And my wife told me, you better tell them the Philadelphia Inquirer is not the National Inquirer. It is a legitimate newspaper. Anyway, according to this article, in 1858, Anna Marie Jarvis organized Mother's Work Days in West Virginia. The purpose of it was to improve sanitation in the Appalachian Mountains. And then following the Civil War, Jarvis led a campaign to, in her words, get the former combatants to lay aside their animosities and forge new social political alliances. Mother's Friendship Day was therefore observed annually in West Virginia for many, many years. Now, the poet and philanthropist Julia Ward Howe, maybe you recognize that name because she's the one that wrote the words to the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She was the next to take up the cause for Mother's Day observance. Now, remember, this is just past the Civil War. So in 1870, she initiated an emotional plea for peace and disarmament. This is what she said about it. Arise, then, women of this day. Say firmly, we will not have questions decided by irrelevant agencies. Our husbands shall not come to us reeking of carnage. Our sons shall not be taken from us to unlearn all that we have been able to teach them of charity, mercy, and patience. We women of one country will be too tender to those of another country to allow our sons to be trained to injure theirs. So in 1908, in Philadelphia, Anna Jarvis's daughter, who was also named Anna, initiated a letter writing campaign leading to Mother's Day as a national holiday. And interestingly, it was established as a national holiday, or signed into one in 1914 by President Woodrow Wilson. But unfortunately, a great deal of pressure was applied at the time to separate the personal meaning of Mother's Day or motherhood from its earlier political associations. Well, what were they worried about, that they needed to separate it? Or what I better say more specifically, what were the men worried about because they separated it? Well, here's the thing. They were the anti-suffragettes, I hope I said that right, were worried that women would abandon their household duties and wind up in the voting booth, as if they couldn't do both. Interesting, isn't it? At any rate, it was Jarvis who suggested that cheap white carnations be worn by women by everybody in tribute to their mothers. So referencing the corsages. But it's interesting because Jarvis got deeply dissatisfied with the practice early on because the florists took over and they exploited the situation. And of course, they raised their prices, which of course is what they do today. Mother's Day. You ever try to buy roses on Mother's Day? Forget it. Anyway, well, maybe some of you do. I remember this growing up in my church because it was a sea of carnations. You wore pink if your mother was still living, correct? And white if she was not. Well, I don't know the carnations should be used or are even used this way. I don't see one in the house in the sanctuary today, so I guess it's pretty out of fashion. But I did look up the cost of a carnation corsage, and it's still under $10. So if you're interested. But rather than trying to revive that practice, I think it would be worthwhile to encourage church members to honor their mothers with a financial gift of $10 or more. Now listen to this. I heard it on the news last night. The average amount of money spent for Mother's Day, individual families, is $245. So, you know, maybe some of that could be given to One Great Hour of Sharing, Church World Service. They have a wonderful blanket program, incidentally, or some other worthy organization that is helping families, that is supporting and strengthening families. And maybe what you could do is put your names in the bulletin like you do at Christmas. Do you do that here? You put the names in the bulletin, you say it's, well, I don't know, in some places they say this is in honor of or in memory of. We do it at Easter time too. Well, you could do it on Mother's Day. Could do it on Father's Day too, and honor your fathers and your mothers in this way and benefit a whole lot of people. Keeping with some of the original intent of Mother's Day, I'm also thinking that Mother's Day is a good opportunity to pay attention to the critical issues surrounding families and to be reminded to work for healthy families, even when family is not expressed in a traditional way. We know that's really going on these days. There are all sorts of families. Think of all the kinds there are. There are, and it's beyond traditional, single-parent families, adopted families, same-sex couple families, blended families, interracial families, interreligious families, and international families. And don't forget families with stay-at-home dads and mothers who are employed outside the home. And families where both parents work outside the home and are in desperate need of affordable child care. Or parents who are working at home and are desperately in need of affordable child care. It's my contention, too often a lot of energy is wasted casting judgment on alternative forms of family rather than working with what is already going on, what we already have among us. Which reminds me that there is a myth out there called the perfect family. I said it's a myth. It is, unless you go back to some of the TV sitcoms, etc. I don't know. I'm old enough to remember Father Knows Best, but to tell you the truth, I don't think that was a perfect family either. If you want to know why, I'll tell you after the service. But there is no such thing as the perfect family. We know that. We know that. Even in the Bible, there are no perfect families. Go into the Old Testament, you'll see it. Cain killed his brother Abel. Jacob tricked his brother Esau. Noah embarrassed himself to an immense degree by showing up in front of his children naked and drunk in a tent. David committed adultery and then went out and had the woman's husband killed so they wouldn't get into any further trouble, I suppose. That's weird. And then Sarah and Abraham, the patriarchal family of the faith, they had marital difficulties. If you look in Genesis, you can find out. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, there is not much in the New Testament about mothers and fathers and families as such. So I really had to dig to find a couple of passages to read to you this morning. But I think the ones I read are helpful. There's the one at the cross where Jesus is encouraging a familial relationship between his mother and a disciple, the disciple, the beloved disciple, as it's referenced there. So there's that mention of a family relationship. And then there's the one where Jesus is told that his mother and his brothers and his sisters are all waiting for him. And he says, my mother, my brothers, and my sisters are those who hear the word of God and do it. So it would seem that non-traditional is part of Jesus' vocabulary. As I reflect on this, I'd like to see a return to the original motivations of Mother's Day. Maybe the church could play a role in reinventing it. In doing so, we might take into consideration not only the need to work for peace in our world, but to work to overcome the pain and struggle that exists in many families, and the need not to judge them, but for understanding and compassion, for help and support. I'd like to see us rally our support, too, for early intervention in families where there is some kind of trouble. I'd like to see more adequate and affordable daycare right across the board for families. And then I have one more thing. I recall a conversation that I had with some people in the congregation where I was serving at the time. We were talking about Mother's Day, so it must have been on Mother's Day. And one person said, we should not forget about all the women who can't be mothers. And then let us not forget about mothers who have lost children. And then she went on to add, we should hold in our prayers all mothers, all grandmothers, all great-grandmothers, all surrogate mothers, and all others who have a nurturing and motherly heart. So that's why I say that today is more than a Hallmark occasion, or at least it ought to be. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you and with those whom you love and with those whom you struggle to love this day, this night, and even forevermore. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Finalac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.